Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad our good friend Scott Arno is here, too. Scott is one of the most highly qualified cybersecurity experts on the planet. He's in a very small category of certifications and qualifications and capabilities, and we're so fortunate to have him here as one of our main cyber expert and on many things, especially security, and he's here to help us today. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Good to have you back. So you were telling me something about something you called digital extortion expanding beyond ransomware. Is that where they come and take you hostage and somebody has to come and get you? What is that? What does that mean?
You know, sort of. It's not you personally, but the way we think of it now is mostly ransomware, where they're locking up your data. It started years ago where it was locking up the data on your PC. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, it's moved on to company networks, hospitals, law firms, manufacturing firms, you name it. They lock up your data, and then they demand a payment, usually in something like Bitcoin, before they release your data.
Right.
The thing is now, you know, attackers are always looking for new ways to make these work and make money. So as newer devices come online, they see different ways to attack. As a home user, maybe something you might see might be, believe it or not, try and imagine you're watching the Super Bowl. Halfway through the first quarter, you get a message on your TV that, you know, you have to pay us $300 now or relieve your TV scrambled.
What? Time out.
No.
Time out. You're saying that this is not even – this is and are we assuming then that the TV is hooked up to some kind of an internet protocol connection?
Most TVs nowadays are connected.
A lot of them are. There's still, I think you're probably right, but it would have to be an IP address type of connection, though, right?
Well, you know, part of the problem you run into is TVs, as well as many what are called Internet of Things devices,
right,
is that they're often designed with functionality but not really security.
Right.
A lot of times they'll have, like, a password that's a default password, which is pretty easy to discover, and that means the bad guys can get in there fairly easily.
Right.
And that's a bad thing. And sometimes you can't even change it, which is worse.
Right. So you're saying that they're coming into our IoT devices, in this case, a television, to go for ransomware rather than as you know, as you've taught us so many times, over our computers, they can really only come in if we do something stupid to give them access. But with an IoT, they gain access on their own.
This one, sometimes it's design error.
Right. You know, all right.
Sometimes, of course, we can make mistakes, but sometimes it's just the thing isn't designed in a very secure way. And this is a problem with a lot of IoT devices.
Well, that's the IoT. But my point is the computer typically is not like that. But here you are on your IoT device, like a television. And as you say, it doesn't have the proper security. So they kind of have it's the Wild Wild West now with those things, isn't it?
To an extent, it depends on how it's set up, like I say, but sometimes also what you can run across is you have multiple connected devices, which is pretty common now,
right.
And maybe the TV doesn't have a really obvious vulnerability facing the internet, but maybe your internet-connected toaster does. And,
let me give you an example. In my office, the only thing I think I have is IoT other than maybe a television. In my office, for example, is I have an IoT thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
I can control it from my I can control it from, you know, around the world with my smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So how would they get to me over a device like that?
Okay, let's say a device like that connects the net. And I don't know your specific thermostat. It might be perfectly secure, but hypothetically speaking.
Let's say it's not.
Let's say it has a default password to get in. And, of course, to connect to you, it has to connect to the Internet. That's how you basically communicate with it.
Right.
So let's say an attacker is able to use that same entrance to get into your network, get on this device, get into it easily because it's got a default password, and then, poof, they're sitting on your network. And then it's a question of where they want to go from there.
So they get the gateway would be the IoT, and then they let you know they're there by being on your network, and they wind their way into a device they can communicate with you on.
Also, keep in mind another IoT device, which we pretty much all have, is our router.
Right.
And the thing with the router that's really problematic is that they also tend to come with default passwords. There are even websites out there which will give you the default passwords for various commercial routers. Theoretically, the idea there is that if you, you know, lose track of your router password and you need to get in and do something, these will list them all for you. However, from an attacker standpoint, something like routerpasswords.com, and yes, this is a real site, is a goldmine because most people don't think to go in and change the passwords on their routers. And this is really problematic because you can look it up on a site like this. And
oh, yeah.
You look and you go, oh, it's like a router. Well, the password is SAAdmin. Let's go.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that I'm sure that my Honeywell thermostat has the same password as all the other 100,000 they made because I haven't changed it.
It could be. It depends on the manufacturer. Some of them do have the good sense to set up more complicated passwords and put security controls in place, but it depends. And, I mean, realistically, you should even be communicating with it using a virtual private network, which is probably more than most people are ever going to buy something like
That's
that.
That's right. No, the VPNs.
Because
most people don't use VPNs. Communications
can be, as they call, sniffed as they're going back and forth. You could literally be looking at your thermostat in a coffee shop, and the person next to you is basically reading your data because it's not encrypted and it's not protected with a virtual private network, which is like a tunnel, basically, through which data flows that you can't see outside of it.
So what we got to do then is can we put some kind of a password over our IoT devices? Is there a common password we can put on it to protect the network? Or I guess the VPN
some devices,
thing?
You can actually reset them. I mean, at this point, it sounds almost like a Neanderthal saying, well, maybe you shouldn't get these things because, look, everybody has them at this point.
Right.
It's just problematic because sometimes the password can't be changed. There was a recent statute.
Hold on to that thought, Scott. Hold on. I want to come back to this. I want to talk some more about this because this is a big deal because people aren't going to buy fewer IoTs. They're going to buy more of them. We're going to be flooded with them in our homes any day now. Quick break, 20 after, right back with Scott Arno, the security advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.